Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. If you're passionate or curious about being a psychic or a medium, today's show and today's guest, Sylvia Mullen, is for you. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. In order for you to get to know today's guest, we're going to start the show with something she wrote Christmas Eve, 2014. Welcome, psychic and medium Sylvia Mullen.
I have been guided today to write about the journey of listening, and I'm right now being assisted by angels. Why are we fascinated when, from an earthly point of view, and why do we feel such comfort and wonder in the realms of the angels? I guess most of us from time to time have asked an angel to be near us or to assist us in some form or another. Usually in danger or time of crisis, we reach out to the angels to come and sit beside us and assist us with our life journey. And at that point in time, the angels come. I guess most of us as little children have sat and looked at the wonder of the beautiful angel that sits high on the Christmas tree. And why is it that she takes center stage over all of the other beautiful ornaments that proudly are placed on the tree? At the top of the tree, she shines in all her glory and filled with magic and wonder. We glaze our eyes upon her. Many of us have a special ritual to hang the angel on the tree. And even as adults, we stand back like little children watching her shine and glisten. Once the angel is on top of the tree and all the decorating is then complete, we all have taken special care to choose the right angel to adorn the tree each year. And when Christmas has come and gone, we find her a place in a beautiful box for the following year. As adults, we try to reconnect with angels and usually often think that they are not listening. And why is it that they just do not seem to come forward? Or are they actually getting what we're saying? And why do they not appear when we summon them like magic, making all of the bad go away in the world and make way for the good stuff in life to come through? Well, actually, they do listen. And we do know that they're there. If we have full intent, and what I mean by this is if you're posting a letter, you don't put it in the mailbox, not addressed or stamped. You put it in completely stamped and sealed and let go. And so true with the angels, we need to let go of whatever the worry or burden is and fully surrender it. We can't bake a cake without flour, can we? Well, simply put, we need to have full intent of how we ask from the heart. How we open your heart to the angels and to be truly willing to surrender the issue or problems to the angels.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, or should I say good evening to our guest, because it is bright and early in New Jersey, but it is evening in Australia. And we have with us psychic and medium Sylvia Mullen. She's living in a small country town in Australia, and by day she is a support facilitator for people with severe mental illness. However, her passion that she is going to share with us today is all about being a psychic and a medium. So Sylvia, welcome to today's show.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be on your show.
Yeah. I'm super excited for you to be here because I think this is a super cool topic, really interesting. And, you know, some people are believers and some people aren't, but this is your passion. And so this show is all about you. And I'm interested to hear everything that you have to tell us today. So can you share the quote that you brought for my audience today?
Yes, I will. I'd love to. You haven't failed until you've stopped trying. That's my quote for today.
And how do you connect with that?
Well, never giving up. especially with people that I've worked with over the years. I've worked in domestic violence, I've worked with mental health, I've worked with people in dementia, and never give up. Just keep digging deep, because you'll always find that inner strength and wisdom comes from within.
And so do you also see a connection between that and your passion? Like, how do you connect that to being a psychic?
When I first started as a psychic, I was a skeptic. I sort of dabbled a little bit and heard about psychics and mediums, but I never really believed in them myself. I was always a skeptic. I always wanted proof. I wanted evidence. I wanted something tangible that you can actually feel and touch and see in our world. So for someone to say to me when I was 19 that I was a psychic, I thought it was the biggest joke going, because I was a skeptic.
How did this begin for you then?
As a little girl, I used to see things, but I never mentioned it to anyone. And I used to look into a mirror. I used to play as a little girl at a mirror, and then I'd look into the mirror and I would see things and just think it was just an imaginary friend. And it wasn't until I was about 19 that my sister, who's 10 years older than me, dragged me along and said, "I'm going to see a psychic. Do you want to come?" And I thought it was a bit of a joke, and I thought I'd go along and see one myself. And the psychic that was there actually couldn't read me and said that I was psychic. Well, I thought at 19 I was bulletproof and pretty funny, and I challenged him and asked him what it was. So he actually said that I had a gift, that I had a strong intuition, and I was actually a medium. And I asked him what the difference was, and a psychic's tapping into energies and a medium speaking to people who've passed over. So when my sister came out and said, "What did they tell you?" I said, "Well, you could have saved you $50 and I could have read for you." And it was a bit of a joke. So it wasn't until I was 27 that I had a breakdown of my first marriage, and I was reaching out for something. And I remembered what the man had said, and I saw an advert for a clairvoyant in Adelaide, which is 3 hours away from me. So I arranged for the lady to come, and I actually set up appointments for everybody else to see her as well as myself. And my last appointment, a Maori woman from New Zealand rang and said she'd like to come and see the psychic, and I booked her in. I was the secretary for the day. And she hung up and rang back and said, "I don't want to see the lady that's coming from Adelaide. I want to see you." And I laughed and said, "You're the second one that's said I'm psychic. I reckon I'm a bit psycho and a bit funny, but I'm not a psychic." And she said I was, and that I was very gifted. She became my very first teacher, magnificent, and she taught me to be humble, to work from the highest good when I channel, to keep my ego in check, and to trust my guides and teachers, and to honour my gift and be authentic. So I actually learned so much from this lady. She was by far one of the most profound teachers I've ever met.
Sylvia, let me ask you this first. What exactly were you seeing in the mirror when you were younger?
When I was younger, what did I see? I used to see people's faces and outlines. I used to see what I know now to be spirit. I actually saw angels in the mirror. I'm very strongly connected to angels. I get profound angelic messages when I channel for people. I actually do a lot of grief and loss counseling with people when I channel people who have passed away. So in the mirror, I was actually seeing all these people who had died, and I actually had a near-death experience myself when I was pregnant with one of my children. And I had an allergic reaction, and I was probably about 6 or 7 months pregnant at the time. And I went to bed, I had the reaction and I couldn't breathe, and I actually went off and saw what people do identify as the white light, it's so bright that you can't describe the white that you see. And I spoke to my guides, my angels that were there, and then I was told I had to go back. And it's really interesting because when you separate from family in the physical world, it's quite daunting and upsetting. Even if you go away for a few days, you can't wait to come home. But when I went through and had my near death and transcended into that world, I didn't want to come back. I didn't want to come back. I didn't even connect myself with people behind that I'd left behind, like my children, my husband, my family. The profound love that I felt in this beautiful place was amazing, that you just want to stay. And I found myself begging to stay. And then I was told that I needed to go back, like she has to go back. And then I came back and then I just breathed. And it took me ages to breathe. I was just beside myself. Fear of dying doesn't worry me. It was more about how I'm going to go. I wouldn't like to choke again like that. It wasn't pleasant. But what I witnessed, what I saw, what I felt, that feeling of profound love that I felt, it is phenomenal. And I know that now when I meditate, I can go to that energy. I can feel that. So yeah, very beautiful. Very beautiful.
Yeah, that sounds pretty amazing. And, you know, people always say that who have had near-death experiences, that they feel that profound love. They don't feel that same kind of emotional connection to stay here. And I think that it is such a true connection to your life purpose and your journey here, that when your job is done and you've done what you're supposed to do, it is time to move on.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
When it comes to my daily life, I do envision that I have angels around me. And sometimes I speak out loud to them. And I read somewhere to give the angels and God permission to your private thoughts. So I have done that, and periodically I'll redo that so that I feel like they can assist me in my walk of life, you know, and decisions that I need to make. I do try to envision what my angels around me look like, how many I have, if I really do have a guardian angel. I'm sure a lot of people do that.
I'm positive that they do. I'm positive that they do. And the message is that it's quite easy to connect to angels. People think it's really difficult, and people think working with spirit and your guides is difficult, but it's not. We're all psychic. We've all been born with that gift, but we spend so long as children trying to lose it so that we fit in with everybody else, that it's not till we have, I believe, a crisis, and then we start reaching out for something. We reach out for faith, or we reach out for something, or something that we can hold on to. And most times we do turn to God, the angels, or faith to bring us back and make us feel whole again and make us feel grounded. And there's that real pull that we do. We always reach out. We always reach out. And it's not hard. We've just got to have that intent. We've just got to ask. And then we've just got to surrender it. A lot of the times we don't surrender and let go. We have a problem, and instead of fully surrendering it, we half-heartedly let it go. But then we keep thinking about it instead of allowing the angels to come in and having that patience, because we want it fixed there and then, but there's always a lesson behind some turmoil in life that we're going through, and we need to look at what is it we're learning through this process, and what is it, how is it helping me on my life purpose, but how is it helping me grow as a person spiritually, physically, and what am I learning at the end of this? What have I learned at the end? Has it taught me to be stronger? Has it taught me to be kinder? Has it taught me to follow my own life purpose? Has it taught me how to connect with other people? Has it taught me how to love other people more? And has it taught me to accept love from other people? There's so many lessons in things that we, if we sit back and allow the process instead of trying to push it and solve it all the time, yeah, I think there's some very valuable lessons that we learn in our life.
Absolutely. Obstacles and what people deem failures are not. They're just the lessons we are supposed to be learning. I agree. So tell us how you went from connecting with that original mentor. How did you then step into becoming a psychic and a medium? What does your life look like?
What does my life look like?
Yeah,
busy.
Yes, you sound busy. Well, I know you have this job, and I also know that you breed Boston Terriers and pugs. So you have a lot going on, and you have grandchildren that you watch periodically, right?
Yes, I do. People always say, where do you get the energy from? But I strongly believe that once you bring your vibration up and your energy and you meditate, then you seem to get that second wind. After meditation, I'm on a high, and it brings your vibration up and keeps your energy there. And after every reading that I do, I'm like a kid in a candy shop, that I've just a heap of sugar, and I'm just heightened. My awareness is heightened. I'm just so full of energy. And I mean, my day job I love as well, but my true passion and gift is the gift to connect our world to the world of spirit. And it's pretty special. I feel honored every day. Every day I feel blessed to be able to connect.
I'm glad you brought up meditation, because actually this Thursday's show, when we teach a lesson on Thursdays to help people reconnect to a passion, or get confidence to move forward, or get clarity to move forward with a passion. So on Thursdays, we teach a lesson. This Thursday's lesson is actually about meditation.
Amazing. I remember a guy, he said that when he started meditating, he couldn't believe the high that he went on. He said it was just phenomenal to go. And there's a lot of research on health, well-being, and actually our mind. Like, they've done lots of research on how meditation affects your mind and your ability to learn and your health, like your health and well-being, that if you meditate, then it actually helps your physical being as well. So I use meditation a lot. I do Reiki as well. I practice Reiki. I've done Reiki on my father, who had a massive heart attack and seen phenomenal things happen for him in his healing process. Two of my sisters have had cancer. They've used healing as well. Your mind's a pretty powerful, powerful thing. And then couple that in with the universal energy and healthy lifestyle and eating, and you're on the right track. You can't go wrong if you're meditating, eating healthy and exercising. Wow, you're pretty well set up to have a healthy life.
Sylvia, can you share with us an experience that you've had that's most memorable for you?
I've had so many with clients that I've read for and family that I've channeled, but one of the most profound ones that really stand out to me was a man rang me only a couple of months ago who had, he classed it as a ghost in his house, and it was actually spirit. He lived in this home for a number of years, and he hadn't had a problem until he bought a little puppy home, and the puppy just went nuts near this certain bedroom, growled and was really quite distressed, yet the man had never experienced any feeling in the home. But people who visited felt a presence there, but they couldn't say what it was. So he actually rang me and asked me about it. And he was a skeptic. He said, look, I don't believe in this, but I'm ringing you because the dog's really distressed and the dog can't handle being in the house, and it definitely won't go near one of the bedrooms. So I actually channeled through a young boy who died. He was around 15. He'd been killed with a truck out the front of the home. I described the house to the man. I described the gate. He challenged me on it and said, well, yes, I live in an old farmhouse, and old farmhouses do look like that. So then I asked Spirit to then give me evidence, because I'm part of my learning as a medium has always been, and because of me being a skeptic, I wasn't out to prove to other people that mediumship is true. That's not my journey, that's theirs. But I wanted evidence from spirit to give me to people who were on the earth plane of their time together, things that they knew, things that they did together, things that they shared, names that they called each other, things in their home. But when I channeled this young man, this man who rang me didn't have any linkage with this spirit. So I thought, wow, this is really interesting. So I pushed this spirit and asked him gently and nicely, could he give me some verification from him to give the man of proof of life in that home? And he actually told me that in one of the sheds out the back, wedged in the shed, twisted on an angle, was a set of old, what looked like garden clippers, but they were actually shears that they use in Australia for shearing sheep. So I told the man about the shears, and he spent nearly 2 days looking for them. He drove 3 hours to sit them on my desk because he was so blown away by finding them exactly as I said where they were. And I was just so blessed and humbled to think that, wow, you know, spirit can come through and show us proof of life even when they don't know the person or haven't connected with the person, but they have in spirit world connected. And this young boy was showing me, yes, I did live there. Yes, I do know that house because this is what's there. And I have never, ever been to that home. It was pretty amazing. And the other thing he brought was he found something out the back in the paddock because he lived on a property, an old farm. And he said this was with it. And I held it in my hand because I do psychometry, which is reading jewelry or reading objects. And I held it in my hand, and the man was adamant it was a watch, a fob watch. You know the old watches that they have a chain on and they hang on your hip?
Yep.
The old men used to wear them many years ago. And he said, could you hold this and can you tell me, Sylvia, who owned it? So I held on to it, and I told him his name was Frank. He was an old water diviner. So I don't know if you have them in America, but a water diviner, they hold the metal prongs together and they find water out on the land. And this old man was called Frank. And the actual, what he thought was a fob watch, Frank told me was actually a compass. The man actually took the lid off and tipped it out and it actually was a compass. Yeah, it was completely sealed when I channeled. But it was because Frank told me that it was, and I actually laughed and said, you were water divining yesterday, he told me, and the man laughed and said, actually I was, how embarrassing. And I said, but you know what, where you want to put the well is exactly where it should go. So it was such an amazing story. Now the compass, we looked them up on the internet. They were in 1810 is when those compasses were made. So phenomenal. Like, it was just an amazing thing for me as a medium because I've always channeled people who, like mother, daughter, father, son, people who know people. This was someone who I was channeling that didn't know someone who had died such a long time ago. And for them to give me proof of life and evidence, that blew me away because it never ceases to amaze me as a medium just what spirit can bring and show me. It just is amazing. And I just, yeah, I'm like a kid with it. I just, every day I love it. I think, wow, you want to talk? Let's talk. Let's find someone that, you know, if a spirit wants to talk to me, I will. I mean, but I am very controlled with it too. My first teacher taught me to switch it off, switch the gift off, because okay. I was walking around all day doing it and not really knowing. But I choose when to speak to spirit and when they come through. And I always see spirit come forward with two angels either side, and then the angels step back, and then I see the person stepping into almost like a spotlight, and then they speak. And I always thank them for coming through and give their message with love. The way that they, I never change the wording. Whatever they give to me, I give to the person. Never doubt what they bring, because they bring such beautiful messages of love from spirit.
And sometimes, though, if somebody wants you to do this for them, I mean, what if a spirit doesn't come? Like if I said to you, Sylvia, on our call today, you know, I want you to see if you could channel any of my spirits or however that works. And then we're on the call or we're face to face and nothing surfaces. What happens then?
What happens? I haven't had too many where I haven't come through. Most of the time people bring me a photo. I read from photos. Yeah, and every photo that people have sent, I've got a message through from spirit. Some can be a little bit harder. They might pick someone that they want to talk to, and then you get someone who'll come through that's more talkative, but that's what they were like in normal life, where you might get I had ones where a husband and wife, they both died at the same time, and the wife was very quiet and timid, and the man just kept over talking, and the lady hardly got a word in. But everybody that's come that I've seen will bring me a photo, and I've been able to channel them, even if it's just a short, small message. I've always asked for proof of life and evidence of their message to come through. So I've had dogs, I've had animals that I've channeled, what they look like, their personality, where they used to sit in the lounge or on the bed, or their favourite balls or toys, and that's really special when a dog comes through. Different animals will come through. I can just feel that love of the person and what they did and what sort of dog it was or that type of thing. Yeah.
I don't know which channel it's on, but it's on like Sirius Radio or something. They have an animal psychic show.
Oh, yes.
Have you heard that? And I think the animals are alive, but people are having issues with them. So the psychic kind of tells them what the problem is and what they're trying to communicate.
Yes. Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. What kind of challenges have you had along this journey? Because I'm sure you have had many.
I think the main channel for me have been, I came from corporate background. I was a counsellor in a very small country town. And I guess that was stepping into what I call stepping in and honouring your gift and honouring you and coming out of the closet saying, my name's Sylvia, I'm actually a psychic and a medium. My children went to a Catholic school and I was wondering how that would be accepted. But I channel angels and I do it in a very loving, caring way. And people in the town knew it anyway, if that makes sense, because I'm fairly well known. And I used to sing in a country band and people knew me through my singing. And, yeah, I found that was a little bit of a challenge, and I had to have faith and trust. It got back to that faith and trust again for me to, it come to me, now you need to step forward and announce that this is what you do. And I felt that was another part of my journey, and that trust again, you know, instead of hiding behind it, stepping forward and saying, yes, I am psychic, yes, I am a medium, yes, I do channel angels, and yes, I do speak to God. So that was, and I actually even put it on, I had a little shop, and I went even that far that I actually put it across the window. I got it sign righted across the window. So I thought, I am going to really own this. I am going to really honour this. And in a way, I felt that if I didn't, then I wasn't honouring spirit. I wasn't honouring the people that I channel. And I wasn't honouring my guides and angels by hiding behind a closed door and not being proud of what I did. So that was probably one of my main challenges, if you like, of stepping out there and saying, hey, I'm psychic, you know. I did get called a witch once by a local, trying to be a little bit mean. I don't convince people that I am. People know, and then I do a reading, and then they tell everybody else, and they've come for readings. I guess that was one of the main ones, is stepping out there and saying that you are. And for anyone out there listening who is afraid to do it and hiding behind closed doors, step up to the plate and honour your gift and get out there and say, wave that little flag and say, I'm psychic, I'm a medium, and I'm proud of what I do.
You know, I was just going to say, I'm really curious how many people are out there right now listening to what you're saying and wanting to take that step themselves. I'm curious about that.
Yeah, just do it. Because I think it's fear, and fear is your ego stepping up and saying, don't do it. People will talk about you. People will think you're nuts. People will think you're crazy. But really, it's just fear, and it's just your ego getting in the way and telling you not to do it. But once you do it, you won't look back, and there's so many more doors open in your spiritual journey, because it's you're honoring it and you're saying, yes, I believe it and I know it to be true, and I'm opening the door, I'm surrendering that fear. I'm not afraid to say that I'm a medium. I love it. It's great when you go to parties and people say, what do you do? And you can say, I talk to dead people.
I bet. And you know, the other thing that I'm thinking is, so many people are afraid in general. I know when I became a writer, to literally say, I'm a writer, you know, because I say to myself, or I would say to myself, who do I think I am calling myself a writer? You know, so people in general, if they love to take pictures, to say, I'm a photographer. You know, oh, I do this and I'm also a photographer. I think people just need that. It's fear, and they need the confidence in themselves and their abilities to go ahead and claim that for themselves. And then, like you said, live up to it. Embrace it.
Yes. I had Lisa Williams teach me advanced mediumship, and it was just phenomenal. And she said, own your shit, she told us.
That's perfect.
So that was her exact words. And it's so true. That
she speaks my language.
She did. She said to us all, own your shit. And, you know, if you're gifted at something, I believe we've all been born with a gift. We need to own it. Step out there, say, I'm a writer, I'm a poet, I'm a singer, I'm a whatever it is. Step out there and own it. I challenge them all of your listeners, to get out there tomorrow and own it.
I like it. Well, we could start today. I know you're going to bed soon, but we're just waking up. So,
well, today they can own it.
What do you think you learned about yourself in this process?
Oh, I've learned so many things, but I think I've learned that I'm very strong, I'm very connected, and quite a few people have said to me that I've got an unwavering faith, and I think that's just beautiful. They said, your faith is so strong and so connected to spirit, and I just love that. That's probably, yeah, that's what I've learned. And I've learned to trust in yourself. I've learned that you need to believe in yourself and have courage. Because you're not going to fail. You just need to step up and have faith in you, because deep within the core of our very being, we have an inner wisdom there that is just not tapped into. And we just need to tap into that and believe in ourselves and be gentle and kind on ourselves too, because I think sometimes we're a little bit too hard on ourselves at times. Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for people who are listening and the ones who really perked up when you challenged them just now, what one book would you recommend that they kind of get started with?
Oh, look, when I was a counselor, I used all the time Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life. It's a brilliant book. And I've actually was so impressed with it that I went on and became a teacher of You Can Heal Your Life. So I actually teach that as well. But the book is amazing. It's an amazing book. It's been out for quite a while now, but it's well worth reading. And Assertiveness for Earth Angels, because when we do spiritual work, we're very gentle, soft people, and sometimes people see us a little bit as an easy target because we like to go out there and we like to see the good in everybody, and we like to see, even when people are mean, we like to see the good in them, and we like to heal them and help them. And I think Doreen Virtue's Assertiveness for Earth Angels is a very good book too.
Louise Hay is amazing, and I know her books are phenomenal. I'm actually going to Hay House in November for a 2-day conference there, so I'm really excited about that.
Wow. Do you now, want me to carry your suitcase?
Yes, you can come in my suitcase. First, you have to get to America, and then you can just come in the car with me because it's only an hour drive. In order to motivate people, I believe it's 3 steps. First, we have to envision ourselves, like see ourselves doing something. Then we explore what it would take to do it. And then we actually act by executing. So for somebody to envision themselves becoming a psychic or a medium, what do they need to physically see?
The first thing you really need to do is switch off. And that means Facebook and all of these things to tap back into your true essence and being, and actually to center yourself. And center, for me, centering yourself and grounding yourself is just not stilling your mind and not all that chatter in it. So number one, you really need to still your mind. It's so the meditation class that you're having on Thursday is brilliant. So that's going to be a start, because you need to still your mind. So meditation is really good for that. And then be willing to be open. So opening up to listening and hearing, and listening to the, I call it the unspoken words as well, but feeling as well. And some easy things to practice is when I very first started was I used to put photographs of people in envelopes and put numbers on them and get people to jumble them up and put a number on them, and then I would hold them and just see what messages I got. Another really great easy way is with a pick a flower out of the garden and just get someone to pick one, and you hold it, and whatever you feel or whatever comes in your head, you actually then say that to the person. So they're really easy ways to do it to start with.
Okay, so you're starting to envision things in general, like as a psychic and a medium, by doing that. So okay, that's pretty cool. Now to explore, I think the books you recommended is one good exploration tool. Is there something else you could recommend?
I think when you're ready, universe knows you're ready, and the right teacher comes at the right time. So, and it's finding groups of people that are like-minded as well, clicking in with groups of people that, spiritual churches, or, I mean, I don't have one in Port Augusta. I live 4 hours away from the closest one. So for people that live in areas that have got the spiritual churches, they're great to tap into and meet like-minded. There's plenty on the internet, on YouTube and different places. I know Lisa Williams has got Lilydale. I don't know how far that is from where you are, but she's got a spiritual place there where she actually teaches, and you have a lot of fun with Lisa. She's good value. She's really, really good. And just tapping into, like I said, you will know in your own heart when you meet the right teacher and when you're ready for the next step of your journey.
To execute, I think part of what you said is to own it. I mean, that's a big execution step. And then what else? Like you just said, you'll know it. But then when you know it, what do?
When you know it, practice. Practice meditating, practice and surrendering it and listening to spirit coming in, because when I meditate or when I teach meditation, I actually teach people to ask who their guides are. What is your name? And the guide will come forward and say their name. And if when you first meditate and you don't get it, don't feel disappointed in that. Just know that you're not quite ready. You haven't gone to that deep enough meditation, or you haven't surrendered enough, because it took me a few years to get the name of my guide that I was working with, and that came through, and I just tap into him all the time. I've got one that's quite funny that tells me funny things if I get stressed and down about things, and he comes in with a funny joke. But it's surrendering it, listening, and not forcing it. You can't force it to come. You must allow it to come and just be relaxed. And if it doesn't work today, then have another go tomorrow, because part of it is learning patience too. We have to learn to be patient, and we have to learn to be open to receiving. We have to learn to be accepting of what's given to us, even if it's just a small little bit. And then as time goes on and we get to know how our messages come, they might come in symbols, they might come in words. It's like learning a little bit of like Morse code in some ways, where a message will come. And like, for instance, I saw for a lady a cocoon, a butterfly in a cocoon. So, you know, when a butterfly comes out of a cocoon, they're very vulnerable. I found out after, they're very vulnerable. So the butterfly comes out and they flap their wings to dry them. My message for the lady from her family member was that she was vulnerable at this point in time. So it's deciphering the messages as well. So a butterfly means you can be vulnerable, but in what feeling comes with the butterfly when you see the butterfly, or what words come. I get lots of messages with words, but then I get symbols. But that's the way that I work with my mediumship, and my messages come. Other people see it, they hear it, or they feel it. So there's different ways in how you work, but it's learning what your way is of getting the messages for people. So it's practice. It's like anything. If you're going to ride a bike, you have to practice. I believe it's like a muscle you have to exercise and use. I might not read for a few weeks, but I can pick up and still do it. But it took years. Like, I've been doing this for 30 years.
Right.
30 years I've been doing it. So now I can just sit, pick up, tune in and read, whereas someone who's just learning and starting, they need to be gentle on themselves and not get disappointed when they don't get a message straight away. But spirit have a way of bringing through a really beautiful message, and then you get excited, and then it just makes you overflow with excitement. But then they come in and they teach you about ego. So you have to be humble about it. And for me, I learnt, and then I went on a little bit of a plateau where I sat for a little while, and then spirit came in and showed me something else.
It sounds like you have a little guide in the background there with you too.
I did have a little guy in the background. I have three little guides. One that is with me all the time, every day, all day. He's called John, and I've got a beautiful picture of him, which was really quite ironic. A lady drew him for me without me even telling her. I was doing my skeptic thing again. I thought, I want to see if she can draw him the way I see him. And this lady was phenomenal. She drew him and she wrote his name at the bottom, because I asked him to show her him. And he looked just like, well, John the Baptist. That's what he looks like. He's got, yeah, so he's very biblical. I've got another one who is Samuel, and he's very full of wisdom. I always see him with a book, and he's always giving me life lessons and more firmer. And yeah, he's very, when he comes through and he's teaching me something about life, something about what I need to be doing in life. Sometimes he'll teach me like a real life lesson or something. He's always got a book, and it's my book of life, and he'll have it open. And in meditation, I can see him, and he'll go through something with me. And it's quite emotional and very heightened awareness when I'm with him. And then I've got another one called George, who's just funny. That when things happen in life, like that are really harsh, hard things that life throws at me, he steps in and he's quite jovial and a funny, I call him my funny guy. they've all got their things that they do with me, but when I channel, I mainly get John comes through with the angels, and then I get the message from someone coming through. But I always see two angels will bring them forward when they speak. And then when they finished, they step back and the angels step back, and then they go back to the light. It's beautiful.
That's really amazing. I wish I could see that.
The energy that you feel is, I call it a spiritual tear, because you don't cry like we normally cry in the corner of your eye. When I channel, I feel that intensity of when someone's channeling a message for a loved one and it comes through, I feel it tenfold. So I feel it, and I feel that other mediums would too, that you feel it at such an intensity that your heart is just bubbling with this love for the person. It's just amazing, and you just embrace. I'm a hugger, so I like to hug the people, and they'll say like, wow, I can feel that, like it's just so strong. But as a medium, I cry at the corner of my eye, but it's more of never sadness. I cry because of the joy and the love of that. Wow, I'm in spirit and I can talk through you. I feel like I'm just a telephone in the middle with the receiver saying, this is what your mum's saying and this is to you. And yeah, the intensity is just beautiful, just absolutely beautiful, beautiful.
I've seen on television where this has happened, and the amount of emotion. I mean, immediately, you know, when you talk to family members who have lost somebody, it is intense. The emotion is so intense.
Yes, it is. And I think people need to be aware of that when they go into mediumship, if that's something they want to do. But I've been blessed because I was a counsellor before, and I find that really helps me in my mediumship, because I talk to them about the grief and loss, the stages of grief and loss that they're in. And I did a really cool program in Australia that was called Seasons of Healing, and they looked at grief and loss as in what season people were in. So the loss would be winter. And it was actually devised by a Catholic nun. And it's an amazing thing where we talk about winter is the time that the person left us. Not that they all die in winter, but the feelings like winter. So when you look at winter, it's always cold in winter and bleak and raining, and you know, there's a heaviness around winter. And then we ultimately, as the seasons change, we want to get through to summer where it's warm, and you know, so that's how the seasons for healing work. And I've used that quite a lot in sessions with people. So I'd channel, but I do a holistic with people, like I work through the loss, the grief, and I've been known to sit with people for up to 2 or 3 hours.
That is amazing, because not only are you helping them reconnect, you're helping them process and move through their grief.
Yeah, and it is an amazing journey that I embark on with the people, because it's talking about the loss, talking about the messages that come for the person. But then when spirit go, we have the laughs, because they'll come through with something funny or whatever they want to say. And it's always the perfect message that they bring through. And then when we've finished, I go through talking to them about how they're feeling, and they just say they feel so uplifted. I go out off afterwards and feel a lot of mediums or other psychics have asked me, you know, don't you feel so tired, because I hold the link for a long time and I do counseling. And I said, no, I always go off and I feel jovial and uplifted and on a high, like I just feel beautiful and their people feel beautiful. So I never feel drained or tired. And like some have said they feel really tired, but I said, I don't. I don't like doing them at night time, because then I can't sleep, because I'm so...
Right. What closing advice can you give everybody?
Believe in yourself, stand in your power, and go out and announce to the world what you're good at. And be proud of that. Be proud of who you are and have faith and trust and believe in yourself, because we have an untapped amount of inner wisdom that we just don't know, because we are souls that are reincarnated, coming back, and we have that wisdom. We just need to tap in, and if you can meditate, definitely have a go every day at meditating, even for 5 minutes, just sitting quietly, stilling your mind and connecting to the angels and spirit. Your whole life will change, and you'll be so much more relaxed and more joyous in yourself, for sure.
Sylvia, I want to thank you for coming on the show and giving us all of this great information. It was really, really interesting and intriguing. And I'm sure a lot of listeners got inspiration. So I want to thank you for that.
Thank you for having me, Lynette. I really loved it. It's been beautiful to actually rewalk my own journey. I think as I've been doing it for a long time, you forget how you began, how it all began for me. And so I want to thank you for allowing me to go back and revisit my journey, because I just think, wow, you've come a long way.
And you're so welcome. And you know, I was going to say, you can really see the growth, and you can also see, because you know me, I always talk about life being a process, but each step that you've taken has brought you to this place where you are able to be open and confident and secure in what you're doing, but also with your counseling experience and what you do all day long with the severely mentally ill, those things together and knowing that grieving process with the seasons, I think all of that has just made you an entire package.
It has. I did a little bit of nursing there for a while too. I've got multi hats, but I look at life and think, I had a basket, and all of these things I did in my career, I've put in this basket, and it's got me to where I am now. So now I'm unpacking the basket, and my aim now is to spread the word of spirit and become a teacher, because I used to teach accredited training, and I want to teach people about spirit, and I want them not to be afraid to do it and to embrace it and know that there's more than just the here and now and the tangible, what we can touch.
How can people reach out to you? Now, you are a part of our private group, Motivate Me Ultimate Support System. How else can they reach out?
I've got a Facebook page, Sylvia Gifted Psychic and Medium, and I'm in the process of getting a web page made as well by one of my dear friends in Perth. So that should be up and running soon, and I can add that onto your page if that's okay, with a link on there when I get it up and running. So that's exciting.
Absolutely. That's the point of the support system. So everybody can get in touch and support what everybody's doing and reach out, ask questions, because, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we had some people contacting you with some good questions.
That'd be wonderful. I'd love to answer any questions that anybody's got. Everybody learns from everybody. Sharing that knowledge is so important.
I agree. So Sylvia, do you do readings for people? If I wanted to call you, or I had a friend that wanted to get in touch with you and do a reading, how would they go about that if you do that?
I do readings by phone, or I actually do them by Skype. And I've read for people in America and Singapore and all over the world. So yeah, I can read by Skype.
So how do they get in touch with you then? Right through your Facebook page?
Just through Facebook page, and I just get people to tee up a time with me or book an appointment, and then I just Skype them.
Okay, great. Yes. So yes. This part of the show, we had a go-do for everybody. Is there a suggestion that you could make that people go do today?
I want people to embrace, step out into their power, and be proud of what they do, what their passion is, not hide behind it and say half-hearted when they go out to social events with their friends or meet up with their friends, whisper quietly what they do. I want them to step up and say, I am a photographer. I am a writer. I am a psychic. Yes, be proud of what you do. As my dear friend Lisa would say, own your shit.
And come tell us about it in the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System. Thank you again, Sylvia.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you. I've loved it.
And listeners, don't forget, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.